The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
So it was written, so it came to pass, Bob. I get a lot of things wrong, but back on January 24th, that's a long time ago. Why does my voice sound so weird? What's happening here? Something's gone horribly wrong again with this microphone. Anyway, back on January 24th, Bob, I wrote under the headline, the Steelers should absolutely consider adding Russell Wilson on the cheap. Peter King had mentioned it to Ron and I. You wouldn't believe how much grief we got for even dignifying what Peter King said. I don't think Ron agreed with it. I certainly did. I said, while his legs aren't what they used to be, he can still move around enough to make plays. He can still throw. He had a really good year. If you watched any Broncos games, like the Monday night comeback win at Buffalo, you saw that Wilson can still play. He led them to consecutive wins over Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo, Minnesota, and Cleveland, all playoff teams, even though his own team was sabotaging him, or seemingly so. So, Bob, I got one right. Are you proud of me?
Keep going on your list.
What list?
The list of all your other predictions.
Bob, you're going to have to talk for a moment. Something's gone horribly wrong.
What's going on with Joe over here, Austin?
I don't know.
That's a good pick by you, no question. It's very difficult to try to assess what's going to happen in any league over the course of an entire season. It changes. Injuries happen. Teams surprise you. Other teams disappoint you. But I think this was supposed to be a tough division. It still is, minus the Browns. Although I got to say, Joe, that Thursday game after this Sunday game is a difficult game. Not because Cleveland's a good team because it's in Cleveland following an emotional game like this one. In fact, back-to-back emotional games, Washington and now Baltimore. And then you got to turn right around, go there. And we've seen Thursday night games in Cleveland before. It won't be minus 8 degrees like it was on that one Thursday several years ago. But it's not going to be easy. And for them, they have nothing left in this season other than to delight their fans by messing up the Steelers' plans. So, the next four games, all division games, we'll see a lot more clarity as we move forward.
Yeah, like I mentioned, they're going to lose some of them, and I'm okay with that. I've reached the conclusion it's going to take a lot of evidence to change my mind that the Steelers can play with anybody in the AFC, and some hard-fought losses to, Baltimore or Cincy or Philly or Kansas City aren't going to change my mind about that. I think that's pretty exciting if you're a Steeler fan and you've come to the same conclusion. All right, Bob, decisions. It's your favorite, your very favorite segment for us. First quarter, it's a play everybody's talking about. If they lose, it's a play we'd be talking about way more. They're already down 7-0. They're at their own 16 with a 4th and 15. The camera person was completely fooled by this. We all were, and I absolutely loved it. And I would have said it if they would have lost. I would say it under any circumstance. I loved it. I loved the guts they showed. People want to rip it because it was early in the game and deep in their own territory. Yeah, why do you think it worked? That's why it worked. I'm not a hindsight person when it comes to calls in a football game, like play calls and all that. I'm not. I still love the fact that Tomlin tried an onside kick with a lead against the Packers all those years ago in the Mike Wallace game. I don't believe Tomlin when he says we didn't get the result we wanted, so it was a bad call. No, it's not. It's actually not result-oriented. Not for me. I think it was a great call. I loved it. Your take?
I had no problem with it because the thing about the – well, let me just rephrase that. The one issue I had with it is that they're winning 7-0 at the time, And if this were 20 yards down the field further, I would have liked it more. Because it was right so deep in your own, and fourth and 15 is not an easy down and distance. That's a lot of yardage to cover. So from that point of view, however, that actually worked into the suspense of this. Because I don't think anyone in that stadium, not one person from Washington, certainly expected it. The Steelers did a lot of film work on this. They had practiced that play, Joe, all week long, yep, knowing that that's how Washington does it. And James Pierre, after the game, said on our post-game show that throughout the course of the week, he never dropped it.
Exactly.
Now, he dropped it on this one. So the element of surprise has to be there. Who would have thought this was going to be? And this, for those of you who've gotten on the Steelers for being too conservative and not willing enough to try this kind of stuff, hey, they did it. It didn't work. Mike Tomlin's reaction was, it's on me, I'll do it again. And I like that because it should have worked. Coaches coach, players play. This player dropped the ball, but he played well after that. I think James Pierre actually did some good things on the field after that. So, all right, we both like it. Austin, do you?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I had no problem with it. James Pierre is wide open. That's a ball, Bob, that I'll probably catch in the Turkey Bowl upcoming in a couple of weeks. Like, James Pierre, you just need to catch the ball. Sometimes it comes down to execution. Nobody thought it was coming. I mean, they had a lead and basically gave Washington a tie game at that point, giving him 7 points.
And that's the problem. I think, if anything, I have a problem with the down and distance and where it was. That's the only problem I have.
But that's why it worked,
But that's
Bob.
Why it worked. Because it was suspense and surprise.
It didn't work in the end. But, yeah, everybody rips Tomlin because he says we don't live in our fears, and sometimes he does. So that justification or that criticism is justified. Like when you punt from the Colts 39-yard line last year, when you have a guy who can bang field, stuff like that. You don't always, not live in your fears. But this was fun. It was entertaining. It's trying to get keep a drive alive, get a bigger lead early in a game. The fact that it's early in the game also tells me that if it doesn't work, it's not like game over type of thing, It's just
no.
It was a good play, a great call, and the guy dropped it. That's it.
It reminds me of an onside kick in the Super Bowl by Bill Cowher. It has to have such a surprise element to it that you would never expect it.
Right.
And I guarantee you, at that point, would you say this? Did it ever cross your mind they were going to do a fake punt at that point? Nobody thought that.
No. Did you see the replays? They had to go to their eighth camera to find a legit replay of it.
Because no one thought it was coming, and that's why it works.
Here's another decision from the game that we can talk about. Charles Davis criticized Tomlin for this one. I'm a go-for-it kind of observer. I like it when teams go for it. An example of when I didn't was the Bengals in that situation because there was too much time left.
Right.
It wasn't a win or lose proposition. If the Bengals scored that touchdown against the Ravens with 10 seconds left, I'm all about winning it when you have the chance there. Mm-hmm. All about it. Todd Bowles should have done that against Kansas City earlier this year. When it's a win or lose proposition, I go for the win. Later in the game, Charles Davis says, I'm punting here. It was the Steelers at their own 43, down 7 with 10 minutes left. And a fourth and a long one. And Davis says, you can't go for it here. If you go for it there, Bob, and get stopped, you're going to go down by more than one score in all likelihood. That was a gutsy call, and Jaylen Warren gets the first down. Did you like that call?
Yes.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Would you care to elaborate?
No,
that
I thought because of the way that they were running, how
what is he
I think
into
not
John Russell here.
No,
with
I'm just
one word
I'm
answers?
Just saying, and I can only tell you that was my first thought as it was happening. We watch these games. Chris Hoke and I do. There are a lot of different things we go about and talk about. It's that should be a show. Just like sometimes in between commercials should be another show here. You know what I mean? Because you end up saying things that, and at the time we had a disagreement on that play. I don't mind it if it's 1 yard. Again, the down and distance was the only thing that really surprised me on the fake punt. So no, I didn't have a problem with it.
Me neither.
If you believe that you can get it, go for it.
Yes.
And the metric numbers will back you up on that and support you.
I agree. That was a good time to go for it because maybe a little contrary to popular belief, it wasn't like the Washington offense was doing nothing. There were some very open receivers that dropped passes. And if I'm Tomlin, I'm saying, you know, eventually we're going to have to get down the field here. So let's get a yard. You like that decision?
Yeah, I had no problem with it. And the first two things that I thought of were, okay, A, is this when we see the Justin Fields package? Is this where he comes in and maybe does a quarterback sneak? Or would Russell Wilson do a quarterback sneak? So it even fooled me a little bit with no Najee on the field. Was that the time where he was still banged up, right, with the ankle?
Yeah.
And they keep Jalen Warren in.
Jalen, though, he gets ahead of steam, man.
Oh, he
goes right for it. He doesn't, and it's very difficult to stop him, which I think played into the fumble because officials know, and I thought Steratore made a good point with this, how many times have we seen Najee Harris carry people and the whistle doesn't blow? You're trying to defer to the fact that he's still moving.
Right. Well, but unfortunately, Steratore's point was the whistle should have blown, and he was dead wrong on that. You give him every opportunity to score on that. It happens every week in the NFL, and I would say the vast majority of the time they give that runner, no matter who it is, the opportunity to score. Steratore says they should have blown it dead.
No,
I disagree with him.
For the reason I just said, just like you, I think because they get extra yardage and they move the pile at the 1 yard line, you want to take a chance of moving the pile. The only thing bad, it was going to be first and goal, and it was, what are you going to do?
Sometimes the other guys make a play.
Right.
Like, I wasn't of a mind to rip Warren
for
that.
But the defense, how they responded, was huge because it was three and out, and they got the field position, which led to the dagger.
All right, that's two big calls in the game. How about the spot on the Zach Ertz catch on the fourth down play? Bob, thought?
See, I thought that was a first down. That was a first down, and I thought replay would confirm or change it. I think the call on the field certainly mattered, but I also think if you look at it, normally they're going to give you that. And they didn't in this case. I was surprised by that. I thought that was a first down play, yes.
Me too. I mean, how many times do we see a guy coming back for a ball, catches it, and gets credit for, like, that? This is the part they didn't talk about enough, in my opinion. Every game I watch, there's at least a couple of plays during the course of the game where a guy's coming back and gets credit for right where he caught it.
Right.
Nothing that seems to matter after that or happens after that seems to matter. I think it should, actually. I think if you're trying then to... you're still alive, get up and make extra yards, you shouldn't just get that credit for where you caught it. You know what I mean,
right,
Bob?
No, I agree.
But they seem to give that. Plus, I even think after all that happened, he got it. Having said that, and do you agree with that limit?
I was stunned that they spotted him short.
Yeah.
I thought immediately. And I mean, once that happens, you know it's going to come down to where the ball is spotted, and it's just going to stand. Because you're talking about mere inches trying to figure out where Ertz was able to get. So, I mean, it's a very hard play to overturn if it's that bang-bang.
Did they actually measure it, or they don't measure in that situation? They just go to replay, right, Bob? Well, why wouldn't replay dictate where the ball is spotted, and then you do a measurement?
There's a view of it right here that shows that he had first down. I mean, this angle here, if this yellow line is correct, and I assume it is because they have all this technology, that should have been a first down for the Commanders. So the Steelers made out on that call.
So
you're going to lose calls and win calls all day long.
So why don't they still use the chains in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
So why? That's the part that I guess I'm baffled by. If replay says, okay, we now determine the ball should be spotted here, then measure. But there is no measurement. It's simply replay saying yes to a first down or no to a first down. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one, an inch either way. Having said that, there were some egregious calls and non-calls against the Steelers. And I'm not even sure I consider that one egregious. It's a spot. You know, those are often very hard to decipher. TJ Watt got held with both hands by that guy in the end zone. That's a safety. And I would agree that in order to call holding in the end zone, it's got to be extremely egregious. It was both hands right in front of the guys looking at it. And then somehow that wasn't the worst misholding call in the game. That was on Dante Jackson when number 87 reached out like the guy in the original longest yard. You remember him, Bob?
Yes.
With Burt Reynolds, when the guy put his arm out and clotheslined the guy at the line of scrimmage. Remember that?
Yep.
Except in this case, the 87 reached back and ripped down Dante Jackson on a blatant hold that wasn't called. So I guess
and again, those guys are
out.
Looking in both
they're
cases.
Looking right at
they're
it.
Looking at both. I don't understand how you don't see that if you're an official, but they didn't.
They did.
But
see
I also
it,
thought
they did
you know,
see
they
it
use,
and, didn't, and chose not
they
to
use
call
the
it.
Replay assistants in New York a lot. So why wouldn't those people say, "Hey, excuse me, time, blow the whistle"? Because that's what they do now, Joe. They'll call you right in the middle of a play and say that there was no foul on the play.
No, the whole thing is just so
if you're
going
to use it for stuff like that.
It's just so stupid and so broken and so far away from what was intended when Mike Renfro apparently made that catch. You know, we're going to get it right. We're going to make sure the right team wins, you know, and at the very least, we'll get the egregious missed call right. Well, you don't. In fact, you don't even come close. And it's an embarrassment, really. It's over-officiated or under-officiated in this case. Also, the hold on Zach Fraser on that one run play was a very odd call. The flag, remember late in the game down by the goal line? The flag came in 10 minutes after the play. And then I went back and watched the replay, and Fraser did not hold.
It's not a holding call.
No.
What was that?
Given what they bypassed with some of the holding that we saw, and they didn't call, and then they call that one, that didn't make any sense whatsoever.
I agree with that.
But I'll tell you who I'm learning to really like is Mason McCormick. He was pulling guard yesterday, and he opens up, and he's a very big 60. He's wearing 66. That's a tough number to wear.
He pulled on that play we're talking about, the fourth and one in their own territory. That was classic Steelers, 66 on
that's
the
right.
pull.
That's
and,
it.
And hammered somebody. Bob, while we're on the subject, and before we get to our trip around the NFL, top of the hour, I got to throw in the Pitt call the other day. Listen, whatever you want to say out there is true. Pitt, you don't want to be in that position against Cincinnati, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But to take away a pivotal play like that on the officials weren't in position? Are you freaking kidding me on that? That's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. You have to, in that situation, realize that Cincinnati's the one who was trying to get an advantage there by snapping the ball quick. Mm-hmm. So if anything, it's a penalty on them, which as I think Stephen Thompson in the Post-Gazette pointed out, by the rule book, that should have been a penalty at the very least on Cincinnati. But by the spirit of the rules, the official sort of running out of the grouping at the line of scrimmage of players to his position had zero effect on the play. None. You have to meet as a group of officials on the field, or when you go upstairs to New York or wherever they go, they have to say, you know what, I guess letter of the law type stuff, but that had no impact on the play. Therefore, the play stands. Pitt should have gotten the ball back right there. Do you agree?
I agree, and I also think, they have to be. I've never heard that call announced by a referee. Like, we were not in position. Okay, there's a song for that. Get out the way. Get out the way. Move.
Wow.
How about that, Bob?
How about that?
Very good.
That needs to be.
Jesus. I say that.
Putting
Limits
those pipes
is quick.
To work.
He's quick. I didn't complete that song because there's a word you can't use. And
why
I
are we agreeing
that.
On everything today?
I don't know.
We haven't
because
disagreed
I think we're
yet.
Smart people.
I think that this one was really outrageous. I'm sorry, it was.
But it didn't cost Pitt just is melting down, and man, their offensive play calling, everything about it is changing.
It may very well have cost them the game.
But what cost them the game was they were outgained, outcoached, outperformed. That's what cost them the game.
I know, and none of that has anything to do with one of the most ridiculous calls I've ever seen. Limits?
It was bad. It was just flat out bad. I got back from the Penn State game, saw the Pitt score, and was like, what the heck is going on right now? Like, I thought Pitt would win by two touchdowns, turned it on right in time to see that play. And I think Alan Saunders put it out there that it should have been a five-yard penalty against Virginia for just not waiting and not realizing what was going on in that situation in that moment. Like, we have seen calls. Like, it's happened where the officials have said the officials are not in position yet, but that's before the ball is snapped. I mean, once the ball is snapped, shouldn't it be a de facto, okay, everybody else is in position, but the one referee is not?
Yeah. Like, well, whose fault was it that they weren't in position? It was Virginia's fault because they snapped the ball trying to get an advantage on the play.
Right.
It was their fault. No human could have gotten from the line to back in his position, which was, you know, behind the quarterback or so, in the time that they snapped the ball. So they committed a penalty at the least. But again, I would have interpreted it as, all right, they snapped the ball. His positioning had zero effect on the play. Pitt's ball. That's what I would have said. That's what I would have ruled.
Yeah, I was just surprised how they mishandled the whole situation there, the referees. And there were some bad calls in that game also. I mean, it seems like it's a daily occurrence in some of these games.
It really is. Sorry.
There's so many missed
opportunities.
Yeah, that's my new water bottle. You want to hear it, Bob? I'm getting healthier. It doubles as a drum.